Our hearts and minds have been called to pray and praise and offer thanksgiving to God. Let us stand as we are able and share in the words of our call to worship. Friends, come out of the shadows and into God's light.
Instead of playing hide and seek, let us choose to make a pilgrimage to God's heart.
In the presence of our King, let us lay down all of our burdens.
We will give our fears to God, our help in every moment.
Follow the one who will lead us to a new life. Our hymn is number 478, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Let us confess our sin as an offering of our trust in God's love and forgiveness for us. Almighty God, we confess that we have not been faithful to you in our thoughts and actions. We have been selfish in our desires and quarrelsome in our relationships. We have allowed fear to divide us from those who seem different. And let distrust separate us from our brothers and sisters. Shine your light into our darkened hearts. Save us from our divisive ways. Unite us in the same mind of Jesus Christ,
who dwells in us. And the Holy Spirit in perfect harmony. Amen.
God offers forgiveness to those who turn to God in true repentance. Therefore, trust in God, who breaks the bonds of our oppression and covers us in mercy. Know that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share the peace with all you meet, beginning with nodding or waving to those around you.
Amen.
seated. Dear Lord, we pray that as we read and meditate on your words this morning, that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Our epistle reading this morning can be found on page 166, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Cleophas, people that are quarrying among you, my brothers and sisters, what I mean is that each of you say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Cephas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I was baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power.
Well, I'd love it if Olivia would come and join me. And any other...
Thank you. That was beautiful, choir. Thank you. I especially want to thank the men's section. They sang right out, and it sounded wonderful. The second reading today is Follow Me. Comes to us from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12 and going through verse 23. I invite you to allow the Spirit to fall upon your hearts, open them so that you may hear God's word. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So that morning by the Sea of Galilee had dawned just like any for the brothers. It was a nice, normal day to ply their trade as fishermen in the Sea of Galilee. No holidays, no school closings, just business as usual. That day by the lakeside, so long ago, was, like today, simply an ordinary day. Well, at least until Jesus walked past Simon and Andrew and asked them to drop their work, leave their families and friends behind, and follow in his footsteps. Now, that's pretty unusual. But more surprising is the brothers accepted the invitation. Just like that, they dropped their nets and followed. Matthew even tells us they acted immediately on this man's request. Suddenly, that ordinary day wasn't so ordinary after all. Now, some scholars suggest Jesus had been staying in Capernaum for quite some time. The scripture does tell us he moved there. So the three might have already met and talked about this possibility. But there's nothing specific in the gospel to confirm the suspicion. Even if there'd been conversations between them, it's still remarkable they simply walked away from their everyday lives. Can you imagine just leaving kith and kin behind to wander through life with someone you hardly know? When was the last time that you changed your life course in such an abrupt manner? Sometimes we read about major life course changes in books or watch them unfold in movies. Author and theologian C.S. Lewis's friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, tells us how Frodo, the hobbit, His life was dramatically altered when Gandalf the Grey told him he must take the ring he'd found and throw it into the fiery mountain to be destroyed. But in danger of being killed right then and there by the bad guys, Frodo left on his journey immediately. But when does that sort of incredible thing happen to any of us? Ancient peoples devised stories to help explain otherwise unexplicable facts of life for their children and their grandchildren. For instance, the story of Jason and the Golden Fleece explained a young man's journey from childhood into adulthood. And the noted mythologist Joseph Campbell taught people how to understand life by studying these ancient myths. He would have named Jason's and Frodo's stories hero quests. And in his non-believer way, Campbell would have called Matthew's story of brothers leaving their ordinary lives behind a call to adventure. For it is here, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he begins to call others to join in his quest, life was changing. You know, sometimes it's the smallest, most insignificant little thing that brings sea change to life. I suspect that you can remember the first time you met the man or woman who you would someday marry, or the day that you agreed to help that little boy who struggled to bat the ball and ended up coaching Little League. No matter what little thing was that brought you to it, I also suspect that sea change brought you into a closer relationship with someone whom you now believe is very, very special. But how often do you drop what it is you're doing, walk away from the life you've known, and begin a whole new life? I mean, really. It took me 10 years to understand that God wanted me to leave my golden sales career behind and go to seminary. Once I recognized the call, though, my life changed forever in about a New York minute. Not too long ago, I watched a TV show about elephant seals. Yeah, I love watching animal stories. What struck me was that immediately after giving birth, mama seals leave their babies, splash into the ocean to find a seafood dinner for themselves. You see, it takes great energy to take care of baby seals. And seals, they tend to live together in great numbers. Most deliver their offspring at about the same time. And there are lots of mother and child pairs on the shoreline they call home, right? And most of these mothers and their pups, which is what baby seals are called, are pretty similar in look and size, right? So you have all these moms heading into the water and all the pups on shore, and the little ones cannot figure out where mom is going. And they get frightened. And all they want is for their moms to come back. So like most babies, they cry. Well, actually, they bark. And you've probably heard a seal bark. What a ruckus, right? Then, after mom's been fed, she comes back to shore, barking as she climbs up onto the ice. And by this time, all the pups have moved about and aren't where they'd been left. For us, it seems like utter chaos. All those pups and moms barking away until one by one, the families reunite. Somehow, in God's great wisdom, the sound of the pups' bark has been imprinted at birth in mom's memory, and the sound of mom's bark is imprinted on the baby's heart. We hear deafening, indistinguishable noise, and they hear the unique melody of mother love. That's pretty extraordinary. And when you think about it, finding one another, sharing the journey of life together, is something of an extraordinary miracle too. People's lives are full of chaos and fear. We don't need to be on a quest like the Hobbit to feel it. Plus, there's lots of people barking all around us. Most don't mean a hill of beans to us, right? They're just in the background confusing us. It's hard to keep focus on the most important tasks of life when there's always a ruckus going on in the background. And pretty soon, even on the most ordinary, quiet of days, we get distracted. So how is it that Simon and Andrew heard Jesus' voice? How is it they realized his voice wasn't random barking? And what of John and James, Zebedee's sons? They also seemed to drop what they were doing to follow Jesus' voice without question. For most of us, it's hard to say goodbye to people you love. To look back on life and realize today's world isn't the same place it was a few years back, let alone when we were young. No longer is church life the only thing that rules people's lives on Sunday mornings. So much barking, right? And loud debate can even fill the safety of club and Presbyterian church meetings. Nowadays, many town councils and school board meetings have become overrun by the barking of residents wanting to shout down any other opinion. There are many voices barking out confusing noises at us all the time, spreading myths that the sun and the moon and the earth and, yes, the church are about to be destroyed. And with so many dissonant distractions around, following the path on which God has set our faith journey is becoming harder and harder. But Matthew tells us Jesus' voice is clear. He lets us know that, like a seal pup recognizing its mother's bark, Simon and Andrew and James and John recognized the voice that was imprinted on their souls, calling them to new life. New life. Jesus, God incarnate, life-giving parent and brother to us all, wanted to share a life with these men who would become fishers of people. Now, today we read the translation that said, Jesus asked the four to be fishers for men. And that word for makes me at least think they were being asked to go out and catch people and haul them into Jesus, which is reasonable theology. But according to theologian David Lose, the same Greek word in the original text could be translated to mean of, not for, of. And if that translation were used, original readers would understand the disciples were being asked to develop relationships with people as they traveled through life. Remember, sharing in relationships of care and trust was extremely important to Jesus. Like a good mama seal, he wants to care for us, bear our burdens, feed us good spiritual food. And all it takes for that to begin is for one person to answer his call and eventually ask someone else to also do so, and on and on and on. Inviting people to do something, anything, of course, can be scary. And up until now, the world for those four men was simple. They fished to feed themselves, their families, and the people of their little town by the Galilee. Their work had sustained life in a physical way. It was good work. Now, Jesus had invited them to learn to sustain life in a deeper way, a way that would give their relationships with everyone new meaning. That day looked to be absolutely ordinary. No holidays to celebrate, no school closings, just business as usual on a nice, normal day. And yet their lives had just been changed. A quest, an extraordinary adventure, was beginning for these four men. For like newborn seal pups, they'd heard something in Jesus' voice that was not simply familiar. It was as if they'd known the voice from before the time they were born. And even though his words flew in the face of common sense, I mean, leaving your family, come on. The voice was calming and reassuring, encouraging, and strong. It gave them hope for whatever challenges lay ahead. Just as his voice can do that for us now. In today's reading, we heard a quotation from Isaiah 9, 1 through 4. It's also a reading that's assigned in the lectionary for us to read. And in it, Isaiah had written, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region, light has dawned." In the person of Jesus of Nazareth, a great light has been revealed to not just the first disciples, but to all of us. And one day, perhaps not on this ordinary day, but not too terribly far from now, there will be no gloom for those who have been in anguish. According to the liturgical calendar, we are in the season after Epiphany. It's a time when the light of Christ is being unveiled to us. And that light is anything but ordinary. It's reassuring, and calm, and strong, and compassionate, encouraging, and full of grace. For that light is the sound of mother love and the voice of God. When Jesus invited Andrew and Simon and James and John to share in his life quest, they followed. Their ordinary life journeys became extraordinary quests that filled people's lives with the light of God's hope. In Jesus' compassionate love, they shared his news with others. They built relationships. And one after another, other people did the same. Until it came to us. Such news changes life in an instant. And isn't such an extraordinary, light-filled journey something that we all want to share with those we love, and even with those we've just met? May it be so.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 345. Dear Lord and Father of mankind,
affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. O Creator God, in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Then you said, "Let there be light," and in an instant the world changed. We, your creation, are forever grateful for the light of each day. For in it we can recognize the great love which you share with all things living. You created the brooks, grasses, and trees, the deer, rabbit, and crow. And you created our families and friends. For all these things and so much more, we thank you. Your light gives life and hope, for in it you reveal the true light, Jesus, your Son, who came into this world not to condemn it, but to save it. Yet still your light reveals the needs of our world this day, while salvation through your Son offers hope to all who are lost in it. We thank you for such blessings and so lift up to you the needs of your world so that you might shine your healing light of life upon them. We pray for your body on earth, the church, that all who are baptized may live in harmony with one another, and that those who would teach us of your life-giving light be given wisdom and graciousness so all might find your joy. We pray for the world and all who suffer the rod of oppression. We especially pray for the people of Afghanistan, whose own rulers punish them for the simple crimes of seeking education or of saying what they believe in public. We pray, too, for the people of Russia and Ukraine, who do not choose this war that has been waged and who simply want to live in peace in your light. Break the yoke of violence, O Lord, so that all may breathe in your love. We pray for the leaders of nations and towns, cities and regions. Help them act justly and faithfully and seek to serve the good of all creation. We pray for those who suffer without running water or electricity in their homes, for those who don't have warm clothing, and for those who have lost hope of ever living in warmth again. Shore up their courage. Guide them to the resources that can provide for their needs. We pray for those who suffer disease of body or mind. We pray for those who await surgery or are healing from surgery. We especially lift up to you people like Jane and Maggie and Larry Good. Let them know the power of your healing grace. We pray for their loved ones who care about them and for them. We especially pray for Linda Good. Bless them with courage and calm and fortitude that they may follow the rocky road with lightness, knowing that in you all will be well. Hear us now as we lift up to you those cares that we have buried deep in the darkness of our hearts. For you, O Lord, alone have the power to change life for good. And we ask you to shine your healing light upon them this day and always. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, the light of life, the light of the world, Jesus, our brother, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
Stand and join me in singing hymn number 307, Fight the Good Fight. It's a five soup kind of day, and I hope that you will all remain here in this place, downstairs anyway, to share in a bowl of soup and fellowship with one another. Let us pray.
Oh, gracious God, thank you for the gift of being called to follow your Son. Thank you for being called to join here together in relationship with one another, in fellowship. Thank you for feeding us with lovely homemade foods that will nourish our bodies and strengthen us for our journeys ahead. And thank you for giving us those journeys where we might go out and proclaim your name and the gifts of Jesus Christ to all we meet. Thank you. Bless us now. Bless us as we go on our ways. And bless us by going with us. The love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together and is the Holy Spirit, this day and always. Amen.
I never worry, for why should I worry? The sorrows may come my way. I've someone to hide me, to comfort and guide me, to watch over me day by day. Never alone, because I know my Lord is with me. Never alone, he's always standing by. Jesus.